Welcome on in, folks. It's the second half of Sports Talk on Wednesday, October 16th. Steve Geller, Mike Dettillier, Cullen Steele, and soon to be joined by the main man, Drew Brees, will be in town for the Saints Thursday night football matchup against the Denver Broncos. Of course, Drew getting inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. And that was an easy pick right there for sure. And you know he's going to be, we just played that clip of him doing a little special halftime chant with all the fans.
He got to cut that down.
It's going to be tough for the folks. I'm imagining there's going to have to be like words on the screen for folks. Yeah,
exactly. You got to cut that down.
Obviously, the hype around this matchup when the schedule first came out, Mike, was obviously the Sean Payton experience back in New Orleans. And it still seems pretty fresh when Sean was here, obviously. It's not that too far removed. And I'm just curious on, in general, how do Saints fans feel about the former head coach coming back to New Orleans? I think
most people are going to boo him.
You think he's going to get booed?
Yeah.
I think that initial cheer might be there. But after that, it's like you're the enemy now.
Yeah, it's going to be a mixed bag. But I think you're going to get more boos than cheers. Because they have a lot of people, and no, I go to a few places. Man, Sean left us. You know, he left us.
I hear that too, right.
And you hear it all the time about it. And, you know, I always tell them, is this the first job you have? And they'll say, oh, no, I've worked 3 or 4 different places. Okay.
Well,
so you don't like him leaving, but you can leave. And they were like, yeah, but it's different. Oh, no, it's the same. And he sort of burned down here, so to speak.
Right.
Because you can in coaching. And then you want to move on a little bit and maybe take a look at another place and redo it there. And he's not a child of Bill Parcells, but is close. And look how many places Bill went. Parcells was like that.
Exactly.
He jumped from one spot to the next.
Just like his mentor.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you got to say, you know, he put a face on this franchise, him and Drew together, because they were the tag team champs.
No doubt, right.
They put a face on this franchise that we had never seen before. Never. Never. No, I was a kid. I sat in that stadium in year one at Tulane Stadium as a little kid, but I sat there as a little kid. Man, they didn't have anything like what Drew and Sean brought to the table. And 1 year Super Bowl, damn. And, you know, you think about 2011, they have that game in San Francisco.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
And then the Nola no call.
Boom.
There. And then you got what happened in Minnesota. You talk about crazy finishes. And, you know, it was so funny, Amy Trask, and Amy's on CBS now, and she was at one time one of the vice presidents for the Oakland Raiders. And she said, you know what the Saints under Sean Payton remind me of?
Hmm.
The Raiders of the 70s. We won one Super Bowl. One. Gotten a lot of big games.
Right.
But only one. And I think about the Nola no-call, immaculate reception. You know, I mean, there's a lot of little parallels across the board there. And she said, Mike, when you think about it, they were a good team, and yet they had some obstacles to keep them from going back to another Super Bowl. And I thought that was a good analogy because, I grew up in the 70s to watch the Raiders. And you had the Dolphins go to 3 and they win 2. You had the Steelers win 4 Super Bowls in the 70s.
Right.
And Oakland won 1 with Snake and John Madden.
Yeah, obviously with the Saints, I wasn't around town for the early years, the non-playoff, the bags on the heads, the really tough times. But I'll tell you what, Mike, I've been around for all those brutal playoff losses.
That's bad, too, because I used to always Buddy and I, we were close friends, and I'd always tell him, you built that reputation on the Saints being losers. And he said, Mike, I would give up everything for them to have won. But he said, you know, in part, you are absolutely right. You think about it, they came in existence. They got the franchise in 66, but they didn't play until 67. You got to reel this back all the way until 1986 before you have a winning season. The original owner, who owned them up to 1984, did not ever see a winning season with the Saints. Not a one.
And yet, they still have that passionate fan base that stuck with them.
Oh, that they had. Now, they would bitch about the team.
Sure.
But, you know,
they
still
listen, were there for them.
It's our team.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we allowed somebody else. No, you might get a butt whipping in that deal. And so, yeah, and you think about all those times you have Hall of Fame. Tom Fears is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was the first coach of this team. And then, you got people like J.D. Roberts. And then Hank Stram, a Super Bowl winning coach. He won. He got into two, wins one. They pulled a plug on him after 2 years, but he lost to Tampa Bay. Became the first team to lose to the Bucs. That was it for Meekum. You go and pick on.
Right.
Then Dick Nolan had it rolling a little bit, and you thought maybe they could get over the hump. Didn't work. And, you know, we saw everything. They bring in Bum. You know, and Bum had won a lot of games in Houston. He couldn't slam the door down because the Steelers were always in front of it.
Right.
But that, you know, they were respectable, but they didn't win a ton of games, and they didn't have a winning season. And then Tom Benson buys the team, and, you know, they get Jim Moore, Jim Finks, and they put respectability to this franchise. And they were really helped by the USFL a lot with Bobby coming in along with other guys. Like a Vaughn Johnson, who was in the USFL, Mel Gray, who was in the USFL. And I give Bum a lot of credit. He drafted pretty well. And then right. Jim comes in and kind of put the touch on it.
I was going to say, who gets credit for being that architect of the Dome Patrol defense?
Oh, that was Finks.
Okay.
Because he had advice from Jim Mora, go bring in Sam Mills. Sign Sam Mills. Because Sam had been cut by the Browns. Before he goes to the USFL, he had been cut. Oh, he's too small, can't play. And Mora was, I took a chance on him because I didn't know quite if that was going to be the case. But, you know, he comes in, unbelievable. And then Ricky was already here because he was picked by Bum. Vaughn had been a USFL player selection. So the USFL had to go under right. before they got Vaughn here. And then Finks picked Pat Swilling. And think about that, you know, all those guys. And once you'll never see four linebackers like that again. Never. Because you couldn't afford to pay them. In today's world, you couldn't afford to pay them at all. And so, you know, Jim Finks, you know, I'll give him credit. Him and Bob, it was a put them up moments because of Bob Cash.
Right.
You know, it was about dead presidents printed on paper. But, man, Jim did a nice job of building this franchise. And then Jim Moore was an excellent coach. Just so happens, man, you in that age of the 80s and 90s with Parcells in New York, Joe Gibbs with the then Washington Redskins.
Right, the Hogs.
And then Jimmy Johnson takes over with the Cowboys. Bill Walsh with the 49ers. Not so fast. Didn't win a playoff game.
What we're going to do, folks, take a break. When we get back, Drew Brees will be joining us right here on WWL. Stay tuned as we'll be counting down to Thursday Night Football tomorrow. Saints out to snap a losing skid and welcome Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos to town. Going to be a fun one. Going to be back right after this, so stay tuned here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier, and happy to welcome in the main man, Drew Brees, going into the Saints Hall of Fame tomorrow. Drew, how you been doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Obviously looking forward to this big game tomorrow night. But I know you're in town, too, for another event going on, the grand opening of Pickle and Pins. What you got going on there, man?
I'm here right now. Pickle and Pins off of Veterans Highway. We just opened up within the last few weeks. I'm excited about a lot of the things that we're doing in New Orleans, but this is probably one of the things I'm most excited about. This is a family entertainment center, but we've got 5 indoor pickleball courts. We've got 2 indoor padel courts. We have a full service restaurant, bar. We've got electronic darts. We've got axe throwing. We've got duck pin bowling. And it's just an incredible space. We got a stage that you can throw parties. We've got a DJ actually setting up right now for a big event tonight. You do have bands. We've got a huge big screen TV for events and such. So, we just wanted to create something that was a great gathering place for friends, for families, for, you know, youth sports teams after their games, just a place to come and enjoy. Obviously, pickleball has kind of taken the country by storm, so this gives people an indoor place to be able to play pickleball and get out of the heat or the rain or the elements as well. So, yeah, I think this is going to be party central here for a long time.
Drew, you and I are going to have to go in a car, go pick up A-Bear, and bring him to this Pickling Pins. Yeah, I think.
Hey, go pick him up right now and bring him over here.
He might be hiding, so it would take maybe both of us to get him in the vehicle to do it. But what
I want to see his game. I'm sure he's got some hand-eye coordination. Maybe not the movement skills.
He does have hand-eye coordination.
I'm sure he'll be all right.
The movement skills, that's sort of matcha today with him. But he once did. You were very early in the process. You got into the pickleball thing. That was something you did very quickly once this started to be sort of a craze across the nation.
Yeah, look, it's a fun game that's easy to pick up. You know, I have a tennis background. I played tennis as a kid. Both my parents played tennis, so a lot of times on the weekends they were dragging us out to play tennis with them. So I've always been a racket sport guy. I like ping pong as well. So pickleball was pretty natural to pick up. Look, it's a great way to get your exercise, stay in shape. It's really a social sport. Like, you know, I could go out in the parking lot right now and grab three people and come in here, and the four of us could have fun on the pickleball court. Like, what other sport can you do that? You don't have to have any athletic background to do it. It's very easy just to kind of pick up a paddle, make contact with the ball, and just enjoy yourself. Obviously there's a lot of ways to get competitive doing it. Which at times I have, you know, but for the most part, this is just a fun sport that's really inviting for everybody to be able to play.
True. When we met last at the pickleball tournament here at the Morial Center, there was a lady that came up to me. She had triple bypass surgery. And she said, you know how I got back in shape? Pickleball. She said, I had never done it before, but I had been told some friends, and they said, well, why don't you try? And once she said, I was able to move around well. And she said it was not only great from a physical standpoint, then I had other friends wanting to play pickleball with me. So it also became sort of a cordial deal and it part of family. But here was a lady that was in pretty bad shape, triple bypass surgery. But she said, how I'm in shape today? I owe it all to pickleball.
Yeah, that's a huge testament. You know, our NOLA Pickle Fest that we put on every summer in the convention center, you know, that's an amateur tournament that draws people from all around the country. And over the last 2 years, we've had participants as young as 8 years old and as old as 92 years old in that tournament. So it just goes to show you the demographic. Yeah. It really spans across everybody, boys, girls, young people, old folks, but the opportunity that they can all get on the court at the same time and just enjoy the sport together. I think pickleball has got a lot of people moving again that probably haven't been able to move for a long time, just because the traditional sports didn't really allow it. And yet pickleball is one of those things that, you know, you can dial it up or you can dial it down. You can just be on the court, making contact with the ball, playing the net, just really enjoying yourself without, you know, needing a lot of athletic ability.
Drew, one of the things, I have a friend of mine, he's a politician, but he made me the comment, you know how you know you've made it in this world? You're on TV. Pickleball's on TV today. I mean, okay, you got people watching it. So that does go to show the growth of pickleball. Drew, the other event, too, going into the Saints Hall of Fame, and it won't be your last one. You'll be rolling into Canton pretty soon, too. But your thoughts of going into the Saints Hall of Fame and, man, what you did for this community, you and Sean Payton, to give it, it's a small word, but it's big in life, hope. And you guys not only gave hope, that you gave so many people joy in watching you play.
Yeah, look, it's always an amazing feeling to step back foot in the Superdome. I mean, there's obviously so many memories that we all have from the time that we spent there, you know, playing for the New Orleans Saints, one of the best organizations in football. Certainly the greatest fan base in all of football in the Houdat Nation, and probably one of the greatest venues in all the sports to play as well. So I think, you know, going into the Saints Hall of Fame is a tremendous honor. I had the chance during the last probably 10 years of my career to watch my former teammates go into the Hall of Fame. And so every time they would come back, it was just a reflection on their careers and what they had meant to the history of the Saints and our teams and what we were able to accomplish. And so, you know, this is just another one of those opportunities. You know, so many of my former teammates have come in town for this, and so it's going to feel like a reunion of sorts, you know, for our Super Bowl team and a lot of the great teams that we've had. But at the end of the day, I think all of us are still so invested in the Saints and in the success of the team and in the organization. And so to have these opportunities, it's a great honor, brings back a ton of great memories, and also gets us looking forward to the future and opportunities for us all to get together again and celebrate being a part of this great organization.
That's awesome stuff. And also, obviously, Sean Payton in attendance for this game, a big one Thursday Night Football, Denver Broncos in town. What do you think that Saints fans' reaction, their welcoming of Sean back to the Superdome is going to be like? We've been debating that back and forth here, where you think it's going to be a warm, fuzzy reception.
Will
the boo birds come out?
This is the way it should be. It should be. The minute that man walks in the dome, everybody celebrates him. Hey, Sean, we love you. Thanks for everything that you've done for this organization, blah, blah, blah. And in the minute that game starts, man, we're trying to kick your ass. that's the way it should be.
Drew, one of the things, I don't know how much you got to see this weekend's game, but your thoughts on Spencer Rattler in his first start as a Saints quarterback. And I know we had talked about it at the pickleball tournament that so much you can learn. Now, today, a lot of times where you get picked, you forced to play, like a Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. And, Caleb kind of rode the roller coaster, but he really played well this weekend. Jaden's been unbelievable as a rookie quarterback to see his growth. But like what's happening to Bo Nix, we see the good and the bad. You always talked about how much you learned from watching on the sidelines. So a little bit about that, but also what you see of Spencer Rattler as a future quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, look, I think any young quarterback, there's especially guys, you know, like Spencer Rattler or these other, you know, first-round picks that you know, kind of unprecedented number of, you know, first-round quarterbacks that went, including Bo Nix. There's going to be those splash moments, like those moments where you're like, wow, you know, that was an incredible play. That was an incredible throw. You know, not many guys can make that play or that throw. There's going to be those great moments. And then, of course, there's going to be those mistakes, right? Those rookie mistakes, those young, hey, he's just still learning how to play the position in the NFL, knowing when to take chances, just kind of understanding what wins and loses in the NFL. So I think with all these guys, you're watching them kind of grow and mature before your eyes, right? And some of it's going to be bad, and some of it's going to be good, and some of it's going to be great, right? And then I think what's kind of the true testament of the maturation process is, hey, you make the mistakes and you learn from them and they don't happen again, right? And you just become more and more consistent with the routine plays you make and then the great plays that you make. So I think that's what we're going to see from all these guys from week to week. Man, Jaden Daniels has been on fire. It's been so much fun to watch him. I feel like I'm a little bit closer to his background and his story. I had a chance to go to LSU and speak to him and the quarterback group back when he was a junior, actually going into his senior year. And then obviously to watch his career progress, win the Heisman, obviously have some incredible moments at LSU. And now, man, he's just kind of setting the league on fire right away. I'd say that's pretty rare, but I would also say that, you know, look, he got exposed to the best talent in the country playing in the SEC and playing at LSU. I feel like his leap from his junior year to senior year was significant. It was kind of like the Joe Burrow leap in a lot of ways. For whatever reason, man, those guys just, I think it's a lot about their preparation. I think it's a lot about their mentality and their discipline. But like I see him do things now where I'm like, ah, man, that was a veteran caliber kind of play or read or throw. And obviously he's got the athletic ability to complement what he can do in the passing game as well. So, man, the future is so bright for him.
Drew, looking at the other sideline with another rookie quarterback, what's something you've seen stand out, I guess, in Bo Nix's game going into this matchup?
I know one thing. Bo got a thick hide. he came into Denver with one, and I bet he's got one now.
Yeah, you know, it's I've watched quite a few of their games, so I've watched a lot of his snaps. Obviously, very familiar with the offense, Sean Payton's offense. So I kind of understand, you know, based on what I'm seeing, like where his eyes should be, what his feet should be doing, you know, the timing and rhythm. Look, here's a guy who's played a ton of football, you know, 61 starts in college. He's got all the tools, athletic ability. He's strong. His ability, look, I don't think their offensive line has played very well this year. I think it was supposed to be a strength of their defense. I think they've struggled. They haven't run the ball consistently. And I think I'd say Bo Nix has been under a lot of duress. So I think at times he's been a bit jumpy in the pocket, just because I think that pressure has gotten to him probably earlier than it should have throughout the season. But if this guy's given the opportunity to stand back there and go through his reads and his progressions and deliver the football, then he's got all the traits. I've seen him make some guys miss in the pocket and like get out and make some plays with his legs that are pretty impressive. So this new age of quarterback, like these athletic guys who can throw the ball well from the pocket and also make plays outside the pocket, is pretty rare. So I'd say his ceiling, his upside, just with experience and with pieces around him, he's going to be a pretty good player.
Drew, looking more at this Pickle and Pins that you have going on, where is it located in Metairie, and what time you guys stay open to it? Me and Mike, when we get off the air, can we stop by?
Yeah, we maybe take that Ron Day Bear's house.
You guys should absolutely come by. We're at 6930 Veterans Memorial Highway. We're open 7 days a week. Okay. On the weekends, we're open quite a bit later, till midnight or 1 p.m. or 1 a.m. But like I said, man, full-service restaurant, bar, all the pickleball, padel, duck pin bowling, darts, axe throwing. This is the perfect place for parties, for corporate events, for birthday parties, you know, bringing the youth sports teams after games, great family night atmosphere, guys night, girls night, come watch the game. Like, this place is incredible. I can't wait for everybody to be able to experience it.
Definitely hear your excitement about it. What's the difference, real quick, between padel and racquetball?
So padel is the court is turf. It's about the size of a pickleball court, a little bit bigger.
Okay.
You play doubles. You play with a tennis ball that's kind of like a deadened tennis ball. And it's fully enclosed, though, and the back half of it is plexiglass. So you can play the ball off the walls. I mean, I'm sitting here watching guys play it right now. It's a big European sport. Just type into YouTube best padel points.
Okay.
PADEL. And you will be mesmerized by the stuff that guys can do on the padel court. But it's a game that requires quite a bit more athleticism. But I think once you get into it, you get hooked. It's a great game.
The way you mentioned, is it kind of like racquetball?
Combination between racquetball and pickleball, okay. I'd say. Gotcha. Or squash and pickleball.
True. One final football question. And you see what's happened in this league and the turnaround of a guy like Baker Mayfield. We had good and bad moments in Cleveland, decided to get rid of him. He goes to Carolina. That didn't work out. Has a short stay with the Rams and Sean McVay. He brings into Tampa. He's a totally different guy. And we're watching this happen again in Minnesota with Sam Darnold. Just an unbelievable talent at USC. You get picked high. He's bounced from team to team. Didn't work out. He goes with Kevin McConnell now with the Vikings, and he has really played well. Now, he got Justin Jefferson, so that does help when you get to throw the football to that type talent. But you've seen guys that maybe fit has a lot to do with it. Also, maturity at the most critical position on the field.
Yeah, look, I love those two guys, you know, stories and the seasons that they're having. Look, I think it just goes to show that, you know, it's tough when these rookie quarterbacks are made to play right away in some cases are really tough situations. And let's be honest, sometimes pretty dysfunctional situations, and you've got a lot of pressure and expectations on you. And maybe you're never really in a position to succeed. And because you're such a competitive guy, you know, you take it really hard and you go through some tough moments. And of course we live in an environment, especially in the NFL, where, man, the media can turn on you quick. The fan base can turn on you quick. and all of a sudden maybe you lose confidence or the perception about you just becomes a certain way, you know, that, man, you can't play or don't belong here. And to your point, like with experience and with, you know, going through some adversity and maybe, you know, toughening up a little bit and getting some scars, you know, you end up developing into a lot tougher person, kind of having a tougher exterior and understanding how to handle tough moments and adversity and find ways to come out better on the other side and just kind of wait for that right opportunity. And then when given that right opportunity and that right system with that right coach, all of a sudden, you know, you start to have the success that everybody, you know, kind of hoped for in the beginning, you know? So I think that's what it is. It's just having those opportunities and going through some things that, man, you hate the fact that you got to go through it, but you do. I mean, look, I got benched 3 times when I was with the San Diego Chargers. People forget that. Back in 2003, my third year as a starter, I got benched 3 times and then, you know, suffered the injury that brings me here. And so, man, there was plenty of adversity along the way, and I would not have had the career that I had if it wasn't for going through all those things. So don't look at it as a bad thing, but that's part of what makes you who you are.
Drew, always awesome stuff for you. Appreciate the time. Looking forward to tomorrow night in the Caesar Superdome, and also looking forward to stopping by Pickle and Pins to go check it out. 6930 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Your complete gaming and entertainment complex, it seems like.
Hey, we got everything. Can't wait to see you guys.
Drew, one last thing. When they did that portrait, I'm going to talk to Trahan to see if he can't put your portrait next to Bobby's in the Saints Hall of Fame. Because that way, you know, y'all can get to talk to one another at night. You know, Bobby needs somebody to talk to.
Hey, you know, we won't get lonely, right?
You're right.
Hey, it would be an honor to be next to the Cajun Cannon.
Cheers, Drew. Thanks again, man.
Thank you, Drew.
Hey, get his butt out here on the pickleball court.
I'll try.
For sure.
I'll try.
All right, guys.
Saints legend Drew Brees stopping by, joining us here on WWL Saints Radio. Always great to hear from number 9. And, yeah, like you said, Mike, the last time we ran into him, obviously the pickleball tournament at the Morial Convention Center. And, yeah, Drew really taking this sport to that next level and helping just promote it. He's a great ambassador, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and it's just not a pickleball place.
No, right.
I mean, you know, he's kind of expanded more than just pickleball with this.
I was reading some of the stuff online. I'm curious what super or crazy darts is. Crazy darts.
Great, man. I played a lot
maybe
of darts.
Maybe after a few drinks.
I played a lot of darts in my time, and I have thrown some crazy darts, but I'd like to see exactly what that crazy dart is.
Pickle and Pins, that's the name of the joint, folks. You can check it out. We're going to be right back with more sports talk after this. Mike, thanks for staying put and helping me chat with Drew. Coming back with more sports talk, though, right after this on WWL. Saints Nation, get ready for Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. The Saints will battle them prime time Thursday night football tomorrow in the Caesar Superdome. Game day starts 3 p.m. First Take with me and Jeff Nowak at 5 o'clock. The Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert inside the dome. Make sure you stop by at Loge Level. Gate B in the atrium, presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Then game time with Deuce and Haas, 7:15. Got to turn down the sound. Turn up your TV sets at home. Then after the game, sound off on the Ciroc Point after with the Cajun Cannon till 1 a.m. at Saints Broncos. 10 hours of wall-to-wall coverage, all starting 3 o'clock tomorrow on WWL and the Odyssey app. We'll be back right after this with more sports talk after the break. Welcome back into sports talk, getting ready for Thursday night football tomorrow, folks. Week 7 of the season. That is 2-4 New Orleans hosting 3-3 Denver. And the injury report came out today for the game. And we know that Cesar Ruiz, Pete Werner, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, all out for the black and gold. Doubtful. Derek Carr, I don't think anybody was really expecting him to play.
I'm kind of surprised it's doubtful.
Right, exactly. And also doubtful, Taysom Hill, unfortunately, still dealing with that rib issue.
Getting closer.
Getting a little bit closer. Again, I was really hopeful he'd be able to play in this game, though.
We were telling people over and over and over again, Charlie, Mike, you, Bobby, you know, 3 games in, what, 11, 10 days? Like, it's...
Rough stretch.
The hardest part of the schedule of the first 6 weeks because of the difficulty of the people you're playing against, the strength of your opponents. The hardest part of this last stretch is just no breaks. You can't catch a break, you can't catch your breath.
Right, rest and recovery, so important, and they're not getting that.
It gets lighter. It gets easier.
I believe the Saints really just had walkthrough practices all week today, too. They really weren't getting at it because you can't.
I hope so. With everyone, you know, breaking a toe, bending down, I hope so.
Ray, also doubtful listed for – I said doubtful, sorry. Questionable for the Saints is Lucas Patrick and also Colin Saunders, who popped up on the injury report today as not practicing due to a back issue. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that during team warm-ups tomorrow to see if he's able to play. On the Broncos side of things, it's a little less. They've got Patrick Surtain is the big one for them, who is out with a concussion. Alex Palzewski with an ankle issue is also out, and then questionable for them. Corner Damari Mathis, Baron Browning, a linebacker, and then tackle Mike McGlinchey, all questionable for the Broncos in that game. Tomorrow night, you'll be able to catch it right here on WWLAMFM.com. And, of course, the Odyssey app. Our pregame coverage will be kicking off 3 p.m. Me and Jeff Nowak in the Caesars Superdome for First Take. And then 5 o'clock, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Be sure you stop by in Gate B in the atrium on the Loge level. We're going to come back with more sports talk after this. Talking Broncos Saints after this on WWL.